GNC580. It's Tuesday, June 1st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a partner of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, I got a great show lined up for you, even though it's taken me 30 minutes to get the show started. We'll talk about that here in a second. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. And kind of a weird start tonight because... I was all ready to punch the button about 30 minutes ago and basically got everything loaded up. Started the stream on TriCaster for the video to hit over there. And initially it basically told me, no, you can't. And then after that, I worked with it for a little bit and rebooted stuff and restarted a router. And finally it let the TriCaster start to stream. Then when I logged into Ustream itself to actually record the show, it basically says, hey, you're already broadcasting. You can't use this application. So they've changed something on their end. And then the program I use to normally play the audio intro didn't want to load. Matter of fact, it's hung here on my screen. So we'll see if that ultimately brings my machine down mid-show like it did last time. Actually, the other one was Chrome or whatever. Something crashed. So gremlins still abound. And it's show 580. It just seems like the last five or six shows there have been like one thing after another that has caused me to have aggravation. I'm being tested. That's what it is. I'm being tested. But anyway, hey, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana. I want to welcome you all to the show. And thanks, of course, for staying subscribed and being part of the family. If you're a new listener to the show, welcome to the podcast. And of course, we've got listeners from 165 countries worldwide that download or watch the show on the website or listen, however you may ever be consuming it. I want to say keep consuming. That's the most important thing. And if you're watching me on Roku or on Boxy, hey, thanks for being here and watching me on the big screen. And lots of videos have been put up on my special media feed over the weekend, so you definitely want to check that out. We'll talk about that here in a second. But if you're new to the show, get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show today. Have all the links to all the, basically everything that I cover, including emails that have been sent by listeners of the show that want me to cover items that they think are good for you to have information on. If you've got comments about the show, you can send it to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call our voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. And actually, I got to call that thing and make sure that it's still working because it's been kind of dry on voicemails over the past about two or three shows. So either I'm not doing anything that's pissing anybody off or everyone is just too busy getting wrapped into to summer here. But thanks if you're listening and, of course, watching as well. Of course, you can watch us over at techpodcast.tv. There's a lot of great content over there as well. Hey, it is beginning of a new month, and being that it is, I always want to say thank you for the sponsors from last month. Make sure that I know that all of you were helped me out by doing trials on GoToMeeting and hopefully signing up for the service, as well as picking up products over at GoDaddy.com. You guys know they've been here a long time. They've been with the show since mid-2004. And, of course, I watched the Indy 500, which was telecast, was brought to you by GoDaddy over the weekend. And Dana, she was fifth place at the very end there. She got picked up a number of spots because of some accidents and stuff, but want to congratulate her for her fifth place. Highest, I guess, highest placing at the Indy 500. So Danica will be, driving the GoDaddy car in a variety of different races in the IndyCar series this year. And I know GoDaddy's sponsoring a number of events. But thanks for GoDaddy for sponsoring this show. That's one of the most important things. And anyway, we'll move on from there. Hey, last show, everyone said that the new Sweetwater audio recording machine seems to be dialed in. There was no skipping or any spits or weird noises from the machine. So I think updating that driver helped that out. So we hopefully that one problem down and we'll get through the rest of these. And boy, I tell you, it's always fun when you have minor technical challenges, because what it really does is it makes you really humble and say, you look at your process, Todd, look at what you're doing, don't touch too many things, and make sure that, you know, you're doing all the stuff that's important to be ready to put the show on every Tuesday and recording every Monday and Thursday night. So it's just one of those things that happens. Hey, I put all the rest of my Ford videos up online. Let me bring this up, see if I've actually got this thing still turned on. I probably haven't. I probably need to go over here and switch this. Yes, I need to. Oh, it's actually on. So let me actually bring this up in the forefront. So those of you on Ustream or actually watching the video can check this out. I've got the videos from Ford. I did the tour park assist. The Ford virtual reality tour. I was in the car with them doing park assist. I sit in the back seat and had a great time with the driver who couldn't back up. So I had to have the Ford person actually had to back the car up for initially. So this was someone that really has trouble parallel parking, and not to, you know, she's a great gal from New York City. And I know many New Yorkers don't drive a lot. So, can't really blame her too much, but totally amazing on how this car parked itself. And check the video out there. Also have a video up my Lincoln Touch. So check that out. During the tour, we went to the virtual manufacturing lab where we actually learned how Ford is helping to prevent injuries and so forth for ergonomics and using virtual reality to basically test stuff that's going to be going on line manufacturing. Basically, what they do, to make a long story short, is in this virtual reality, they'll have a mock-up of a vehicle, and maybe they've got an engine part that they need to put in, and they'll actually, you know, do the actual motion to connect a part in the actual vehicle itself, and not in the vehicle, but in the virtual world, and they actually see how that's going to work from an ergonomic standpoint. Squatting, bending, twisting, all those things that could cause injuries, and they figure out better ways to do an install or to design a part. So that was pretty cool. And then one of the other videos up there is the PVM video. It's about a programmable vehicle model, and actually some of you saw a picture of me sitting in this actual virtual vehicle over on Crunch Gear. I think they had a picture of me up there. I'm sitting in the vehicle, but I've got a video on how that works. And then the last video is on Toolink. And this will be for those of you that may have a Ford pickup truck and what they're bringing to construction workers and be able to track tools that are in the vehicle through RFID tags and basically providing better security and so forth. So that's all up. And of course, all the other videos from the cave and stuff are all online. So all the content is up. From my tour to Ford, of course, as a disclaimer here, Ford did pay my way out there and for my housing. So check those out and let me know what you think. Some of the audio is really low, and I really had to crank it up because you're in a big room. They're not on mic. They're not, you know, so you really have to get the ambient. So I apologize if the volume's a little low on some of those videos. Did the best we could. Had a real good shotgun mic on the camera as well, but unless you have someone wired, it just doesn't work, and it just wasn't possible to have people wired up all times. Let's see here. What else? This weekend, I told you guys that the missus was going to have me busy. And let me make an adjustment on the camera here. There we go. The missus was going to have me busy, and she did. Now, what we did is when we moved from historic Fort Island to our house here, and when I retired from military, we brought our carpet with us from our old housing and installed it here in the house. Basically, what we did is it fit perfectly. We rolled it out, had a pad, and that carpet was about 3 years old at the time. And then, we, of course, when we moved in, across the street was still under construction. We had lots of red dirt, so this carpet got hammered. And even though I had shampooed it a couple of times, it was just time to go. So we knew some friends that were having some financial difficulties, essentially, that needed some carpet. So basically, I went through and shampooed the carpet up, cleaned it up, and they came over, and they were happy to get it and picked it up. Actually, two of them. So that left me with my laminate floors. I thought, oh, man, this is beautiful. It looks great. I had everything set up nice. And she says, honey, we need to buy a 9x12 throw rug to put down in this one section. I'm like, okay, go ahead, honey. Just get one. You know, obviously, I don't know how much throw rugs cost. You know, little boy from Michigan, country boy, throw rugs, like one of these 3x5 things. You know, you just roll it out and it's like, you know, that's a throw rug, right? And, you know, I've seen these rugs hanging at Walmart and at Lowe's. And, you know, they're $200-$300. You know, I'm thinking to myself, what's a 9x12? $500 maybe max. So she calls me. She said, I need you to come down to where I'm at and get this. It's a little bit big for my car. I got my car full of stuff. I need you to pick this up. So you know, I drove down there and she said, oh, will you pay for it? And I got to the cashier and he handed me the bill. And I was like, how many carpets did we buy? Because it was a bigger figure than what I figured. And he said, oh, you just bought one. And I looked at her, I looked at the bill, and I said, what did we buy? Did we buy a Persian rug or something? Wow. That's all I can say. It wasn't that bad, but it was about three times as much as I thought it was going to cost. And it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. It looks perfect. But I'm thinking, I should have carpeted just the whole house. I couldn't have done it for that price. I might have been able to do one room. But, wow, things have changed. So anyway, that was the extent of my week. Actually, a lot more than that. Honey had lots of stuff to do, and we took care of it all. It was a great weekend. Did a little barbecuing, some ribs and stuff. So I hope you all had a good Memorial Day weekend. As I did here. All right, let me go ahead and move through this. Hey, Rochester is still on for the week of June 14th. It'll be out there. The special insider, the Geek News Central Insider, was released. So all of you that are insiders, you shouldn't have got an email from me today with the link to the special Geek News Central Insider video. Again, this is raw footage, much of it uncut, some of it not narrated. I hope that you enjoy it. If you are an insider and did not get the email, email me immediately and let me know. Now, there's a couple ways you can be an insider. By one, contributing monthly to the show by going to geeknewscentral.com/insider, or by doing stuff like Sam does, our good buddy out in Albuquerque, running the Ohana store at cafepress.com/Ohana store. So definitely check that out. That's where you can pick up shirts, t-shirts, hats, mugs, you name it. Again, cafepress.com/Ohana store. And so anyway, the true insider video is out and gone. Again, if you didn't get it and you were emailing and you're supposed to, email me immediately and I'll fix that up for you. Don't forget over to geeknewscentral.com/offers. Check some stuff up there, some good PC tune-up software there over there for you to check out as well. Five or six different offers for you. And, of course, we're still got our promotion going on. If you pick up a product at yourbabycan.com/podcast and you provide me a copy of the receipt, by the end of next week, we'll give someone in the show a $50 basically credit towards what they've already bought over there. So if you bought something that's $40, you're going to get $50, you're going to make 10 ahead. So go ahead and definitely send me an email. Link is on the banners on the website. Link is in the geeknewscentral.com/offers area. The Lenovo ThinkCenter A63 has moved out of the office to the garage because I'm trying to get a word on when I can give this thing away. I haven't heard yet, so we'll try to figure that out for you. But it's it's ready to be delivered to somebody. And so hopefully we can get that contest going here shortly. Hey, let's take care of a little business here. Let's pay some bills, keep the lights on, as I like to say. And, you know, really, there's an old way to meet for business, over the phone or in person. But now there's a new, better way. You can meet clients and colleagues online with GoToMeeting. You know that GoToMeeting is like meeting in person, but less time-consuming, less expensive. Start with your meetings with just a click. Everyone can see your computer desktop on their computer screen, so they can follow along as you move from page to page. You know, I use GoToMeeting to host sales presentations. I do product demos, training sessions. I even collaborate on documents by sharing screens with my coworkers and folks that need to be in on building up documents for presentations and so forth. And with GoToMeeting brought to you by Citrix, you can host as many meetings as you want for one low flat rate. What's beauty is I can use it. Jeff can use it. All my team members within the company can sign in on the one account. We can do our meetings back and forth. Works out really well. You guys know that I've used GoToMeeting. It's great. As a listener of this show, you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited meetings free. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's again, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for your free 30-day trial. Hey, really, with the GoDaddy sponsoring the Indy this weekend, if you guys watch it, you probably get inundated with GoDaddy videos. But really, the true savings is by listening to this show and using my promo codes. You can share those with your friends and neighbors, people that you know. Hey, if you're looking for domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, SSL certificate, whatever it may be, when you pick that product up and you get to the checkout counter, you definitely want to use one of my promo codes. If you're renewing a .com, ComSale is the code to use, okay? That's the only one you're going to be able to use on renewals of .coms. But if you're picking up a new product or service, Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Aloha will save you $30 on orders $75 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. So definitely check the codes out. Again, you can find the codes at on the website at geekandcentral.com. There's a link to the web, basically to the site. It's also on the offers page. So thanks for using GoDaddy, and thanks for using my promo codes and sharing those far and wide. Really, it's definitely helps us out here and helps us keep the lights on. All right, let me go ahead and get into the stack of stuff I've got for you tonight, content-wise. And just making sure I've covered everything in my list that I was going to cover earlier. I think I have. And let's see if Chrome can go the whole show without crashing. Or the machine, whatever it was causing. I went through and did... guys, I thought it might have been a memory error. I went through and did all the memory error checks and everything. But with Winamp acting strange today, I think I'm going to end up pulling those two gig sticks out and see if that causes this machine to quit having these little hiccups. It's a brand new Windows 7 machine, too. So I know, Apple folks, I know you guys are saying, Todd, get rid of it. Go to a Mac. Well, if it keeps doing what it's doing, it might be headed for a very high pitch out my back door. All right. Hey, this whole oil spill thing, man, it's just still going on and on and on. I guess now BP engineers are preparing for its next bid to stop the oil flow. And robot submarines are carrying equipment, cutting small pipes at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico, preparing to place a cap-like containment valve over the blown-out oil well. And video feeds Monday showed the robots using a circular saw-like device to cut small pipes around a wider riser that is spewing oil and gas. You know, why can't they just go down there and, you know, if these things can weld, why don't they go down there and weld on this thing? You know, all these little spots where these oils are coming out, go down there and, you know, weld that thing up. It seems like, you know, makes sense to me if they can weld it at a mile down. You know, maybe they can, I don't know, but, anyway, are they gonna get this thing stopped or not? Or is it just going to continue? So, anyway, we'll keep you advised on it. I'm sure you're hearing about it in the news as well. Hey, how many of you our old school BBS guys going way back. And if you want a little nostalgia and have a little fun, you have an iPad, pick up the iPad application called Sprite Something. Now, this is totally retro, and you can make little animated graphics with a pixel-based design editor. How many of you remember when we had just a small palette of colors, and sometimes it was just shades of gray, where we would make ASCII characters? People got pretty good at really doing some very impressive. When you log into a Telnet window on a BBS or something, it would scroll up, and you'd have this nice ASCII graphic. Well, if you want to do some old-school icon designing and, you know, retro game type stuff, you can have a little bit of fun here with this Sprite Something from Terrible Games. And this is from the old days of creating icons and applications like ResEdit and so forth. Pretty fun stuff. And I downloaded this and I was showing my kids this. And, you know, my son is like, "Dad, this is so cool." And he was, you know, having fun with it. And really, it's you know, very low res stuff. You know, it's a pixel by pixel. You put the colors in to make a design. And so what it made me do is I had to pull out an old hard drive I've got stashed away. And I had to show him some of my old ASCII designs that I had made. And he was like, "How long did that take?" And I was telling him, I said, "Well, probably a lot more time than what I'm willing to admit now. But I know some of that stuff it took me hours to do." And but anyway, you'll have a lot of fun with this app. It's called Sprite Something for iPad. I know this will bring back some memories for some of you guys. Some of you won't care. Some of you have no idea what I'm even talking about. But that's okay as well. And on the Senate side, 171 Republicans, along with 73 Democrats, have told the FCC not to go forward with its plans to reclassify ISPs as common carriers. Now, obviously, that's twice the number of Republicans have sent the agency a letter as Democrats, but they basically have said, "We write to encourage you not to proceed down your announced path to reclassify broadband services as phone services under Title II of the Communications Act," they wrote. "The sort of move should be made by Congress." And as you know, Congress is introducing legislation right now to do exactly that, reclassify or look at reclassifying ISPs. We'll see if they make this happen. I found this article over in Ars Technica as well, so definitely check it out. Hey, there's a rumor going on that the Apple TV, you know, Apple may have actually not been so asleep at the switch as what everyone has been thinking. But you guys know I've got an Apple TV here, and ever since we got the Roku, I don't think we've had the Apple TV on once or twice. Matter of fact, my wife was asking me to update pictures in it because when we have parties around here, we use that to flip through pictures. And so I was actually checking it and updating it. But the new rumor is out that Apple is planning to use iPad internals in a version of the iPhone operating system to power the next revision of the Apple TV set-top box. The rumor also claims that Apple will ditch internal storage, which I think is a bad idea, for a streaming-only solution. In other words, cloud, you basically have to upload stuff to a cloud, and this new hardware will cost $99. Now, if Apple puts anything out, any piece of hardware out for $99, I think I'll fall over. Also, I just don't get it why they would remove a hard drive from it. But that's the plan. That's what the rumor is. Now, if that's the case, they're going to turn our TVs with the Apple TV into glorified iPhones or iPads. Let me see. No flash. How are we going to do streaming video effectively? Lots of things there to go, in the dark. Once again, I'm sure they will say, "Oh, it's not powerful enough to run Adobe Flash." So, according to sources over at Engadget, the new Apple TV will be based on the same A4 processor currently used in the iPad, and that is also expected to appear in the next iPhone. They say it's going to be 1080p capable. So what do you guys think? Also, no storage. I don't buy. But we'll see. And we'll see if this rumor comes to fruition or not. In the UK, there continues to be significant discussion about the three-strike rule and how it could snare libraries and coffee shops. With the UK having released a draft of set rules for its new three strikes and you're on a list approach to online copyright enforcement, the quick and dirty details are that ISPs must log copyright infringement warnings from right holders. No, right holders can then sue when anyone picks up three warnings within a year. Right holders must prove they use a solid process to uncover violations. ISPs must prove that they can properly match IP addresses to names and that there's an appeals process. Now, the question that everyone's asking is how do you classify a ISP? Does that mean coffee shops that are going to be offering Wi-Fi could be counted as an ISP? Could a business that offers open Wi-Fi access in its lobby count as a ISP? Could libraries and so forth? So that's a question being asked because they don't know how they're going to enforce. In other words, can you imagine? Oh, someone comes in and does file sharing three or four times in a public library and they shut the library down because of it. Someone's doing this violation. So lots of stuff to work out here. Now, the good news on this is that none of this will affect small ISPs at first. Right now, the plan would only apply to 7 wireline ISPs that serve more than 400,000 customers. That would be BT, O2, Orange, Post Office, Sky, and TalkTalk, and Virgin. Mobile operators are excluded, as are all small players. So we'll see. So, you know, if you're doing peer-to-peer, get off those providers right away. New research is revealing security issues for the iPhone. This is bad news. It really, really is. I mean, it's really bad. If you lose your phone and someone wants in, you're done. Plain and simple. All they have to do is connect the phone to a computer that's running Ubuntu version 10.04. And Ubuntu will auto-mount the flash storage in the iPhone, allowing access to all of the information contained within. And files can also be accessed even if a PIN code is set. So basically, those of you that are on Ustream, you can see here, it just shows you all the directory structure. And hey, you know, your phone's owned. So this is a significant issue for business owners. I know that I would be very, very nervous if any of the phones that any of the guys from Raw Voice got into were lost and the information was able to be obtained. Absolutely corporate secrets on there. You know, we do a lot of internal discussions about stuff and where we're going. That would be valuable information to our competitors, including contacts of advertisers, those are on advertising deals, stats data, just from a small company like ours perspective, it could be bad news. It really, really could. So we'll see how Apple addresses this. But this is not good. So time will tell if they get this plugged or not, but I bet you a lot of corporations are going to be screaming very, very loudly, and it may slow the progression of companies that are coming onto the iPhone platform. Hey, over on the BBC article, it's an article by David Reed. It's talking about, should you store treasured data on disk? He says, preserving precious data such as pictures and home videos on CDs and DVDs could do more damage than good in the end. According to the French National Center for Scientific Research, they found after testing the longevity of portable media, they were surprised to see that the lifetime of discs, some of which were designed to last for centuries, actually rarely lasted longer than 5 to 10 years. In the most severe cases, which were happily quite rare, the data on some disks lasted just 1 year. Unlike audio and videotapes that wear out with play, discs are read with a laser, so there's no physical contact. However, the surface, which contains more than 7 miles of data, is deteriorating with age. And we've known about this for a while. And here's what I'm advising to all of you. And we've talked about this before, and this has been some, you know, studies have been done on this in the past. External hard drives are probably your best friend. What I do with my data here, you guys know that I have a backup plan. Matter of fact, I don't know if I've talked about this recently, is I have 2 very large external hard drives. Actually, I have 4, but 2 of them at all times are in a safety deposit box. Then once a month, matter of fact, this week, I will take the 2 drives that I have here with the current backups, and I will go and I'll swap them with the ones that are in there. So every month, they do a swap. And that's where how I kind of do a hardcore offsite backup. I also store stuff up on S3 and a variety of other places as well. But it gets too expensive. You know, I look at the data here that I've collected video-wise. Home videos alone, I probably have a terabyte or 2 of just home video stuff. So I've stored those on additional drives as well. And so over time, but this is, you know, it's not inexpensive because I went out and bought 2 terabyte drives this weekend. I think I paid $179 for each drive. They were not high performance drives. They were just 5,400 RPM, 2 terabyte drives by Seagate, and did nothing but copy data from, these were SATA drives, copied them from, and I had some just some regular old standard, I guess for a better word, you know, the old style drives, copy that data from them onto this just so I could keep the, you know, have a computer at some point that could read those old drives or the new drives. So, you know, every 3 to 4 years, I have to make this big jump and move the media over onto different discs. Now, I do it twice just so I have all the data. And, you know, offsite storage is good, but it can be expensive, especially video. So I think hard drives for the time being are good so long as you've got a place to take them to that are outside your house in case your house burns down. So, you know, there's, right, you know, you guys have to weigh that upon, you know, your financial status and, how important that data is really for you. DVDs, I just don't think get it. We've been converting, we've had a number of, video tapes, VHS tapes. So I've been backing those up to DVD. And then what I do from the DVD is put them on a hard drive so that I have an actual hard copy on a hard drive as well. They initially go onto a DVD because that's the easiest way we've been transferring them is straight from a SVHS to a recorder, a Sony DVD recorder. And it's just easy for my wife to do that backup data. And then I take the actual raw drive and I copy that data to a file structure that I have set up for storing media. And so should you store your treasure data on disk? Probably not. And you need to have them somewhere in some medium that you can get access to over time. And I think right now for the cheapest way is probably through hard drives. What are you guys doing? How are you guys doing? Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. So, you know, how are you guys backing up your media? And it's, you know, it's really getting kind of insane how much storage that I'm starting to accumulate as far as, you know, not even counting. You know, this is just the home stuff that I'm really worried about, but I look at all the stuff stuff I shot at Ford last week or 2 weeks ago. That was about 45 gigs, and that was a one-day shoot. 45 gigs of HD content. And you guys saw that was broken down finally on YouTube and on the website, probably 30, 35 minutes of total video. But yet I've got 45 gigs of raw HD 1080i, you know, captured content. So it's big. It really, really is. And, you know, being a junkie for content, I don't want to throw anything away. you know, but I think at some point we're all going to have to say, okay, I haven't used that piece of data in 3 years. Maybe I need to dump it. But I'm a backup junkie too. So, you know, I do a lot of backing up of content online, and that can add up real quick as well. So anyway, what are you guys doing? Let me know. Hey, over on Business Week, sadly, the U.S. economy has not been good necessarily in the month of April. Consumer spending paused a little bit. What are you guys seeing? Are you guys seeing the economy pick up in your area? You know, I'd kind of like to hear from you guys what you're seeing. I know it's not tech-related, but are you guys seeing a turnaround in your towns and communities? Are jobs starting to open up at all? Or is, you know, it's just this a temporary thing and we're going to continue to be flat for a while? Love to hear just from you guys' perspective. I'm talking to business people here in Hawaii. They're seeing a little bit of a tick of an increase of spend. People are starting to spend money and not save as much. But what are you guys seeing on your side? Hey, Skype 2.0 for iPhone is available. And, you know, it's been nearly a six-month wait since Apple has given 3G voice IP calls the green light. And so finally, the folks over at Skype have updated their app, and you now can make phone calls over there. And let me go ahead and... So the question the folks over at reviews.cnet.com ask is, the Skype 2.0 for iPhone, is it worth it? And here's the thing that I kind of triggered on. You're going to have until August 2010 to make and receive free Skype to Skype calls over your mobile network. In other words, you can do it when you're connected via Wi-Fi or on a 3G network. After that, you're going to need a mobile subscription. And I would imagine that they're going to be charging $2.95, $3.95, $4.95 a month for you to have the ability to make Skype calls over your mobile phone. Now, personally, the majority of my calls are within the continental United States. So I have an unlimited plan on the iPhone, and I burn a huge, probably 5,000, 6,000 minutes a month or more. I think the highest I've ever done so far is like 8,000 minutes. Yes, that's a lot of minutes on the phone. Burn those minutes on the mobile phone. And so here is the question then. I don't do international, so I don't really see a need to use Skype on my mobile device. But I imagine many of you probably have your mobile phone as your only phone. So being able to make Skype calls internationally at the prices they allow probably is very attractive. So what would you pay for the Skype 2.0 for iPhone service after August of 2010? Is it worth it if that fee is $5? Now, the review on this said that the actual quality was pretty good. And the interface warns you when the network speed is poor. You have to be looking at your phone to see it, but so far, everyone said it's pretty high quality. If you've used it, let me know. Let me know if you've used it internationally and what you would pay for it. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Okay, next article up is another article from CNET. Now, you know, we've all heard about the person that has, we heard about the person a number of years ago that sued McDonald's because the coffee was too hot and it burned them. I remember riding the ferry, the Staten Island ferry, going between Staten Island and Manhattan, and getting a couple of coffees, and spilling a little bit on my hand, and I just absolutely burnt the inside of between my thumb and forefinger. Just, oh, it was horrible. That coffee was definitely too hot. But you know what? I was stupid. I could have put a cap on it. And, you know, coffee comes out of coffee pots hot. So, you know, you got to use your brain, right? I didn't use my brain. I didn't sue the Staten Island ferry like that lady sued McDonald's. But a woman has gotten hit by a car. She has sued Google for faulty directions that she received on her BlackBerry using Google Maps. Now, Google Maps, I've seen this warning pop up before when you do a search, says walking directions are in beta. Use caution. This route may be missing sidewalks or pedestrian paths. In other words, they don't know exactly where they have sidewalks. And I've used this to walk in areas when I'm in big cities before. And, you know, it's use at your own risk. And, you know, you have to use a little common sense. It's just like a GPS. It tells you to turn right and there's a cliff there or a bridge is out. You know, it tells you to go straight. Do you continue straight and drive off the cliff? No, you stop. You use some common sense. You turn around and go the other way, right? Well, this lady was walking on a state road or alongside a state road that had no sidewalk, no pedestrian path. And of course, she got hit by a car. But she says because Google sent her down that road, they're liable for sending her the wrong day, wrong way. Now, I don't know how bad she was hurt. I don't care. I hope she's fine. But where's common sense play out here? Is the lawyer just an ambulance chaser? Oh, I got hit by a car using Google Maps. You have a case. We can go after Google. They're liable for sending you down the wrong street. When do we relieve ourselves of the responsibility of having common sense and doing our own, using our brains? How many of you tell your kids, are you using your brain? Do you have a brain? I got a 13 and 12-year-old here a lot. I'm doing that a lot. You know, parents, I'm sure you're saying to your kids, do you use your brain? Think about that for a second. Come on, you have a brain, use one. I swear, people will sue over anything. In the old days, they would just die. But now we got modern medicine, people live. But don't take that the wrong way. But in this world, you know, out in the jungle or out in the safari, you know, who lives? The smart and the strong. The weak get ate, you know? It's just natural selection. You know, I swear to God, some people, you know, get hit by a car and they're going to blame Google. Did she have a brain? I don't get it. All right, on more news. Apple has sold 2 million iPads in under 60 days. So, pretty big number. It's, at this point, pretty safe to assume most of those numbers came from the United States market, as the iPad only went on sale less than 4 days ago. And, of course, Australia, Japan, Canada, UK, Spain, France, Germany, Italy, Switzerland. So, that's a pretty big number. We will see. Is this making an impact? I think it is. All right, moving on here. How many of you ever tried acupuncture? How many of you think poo-poo acupuncture? Well, there's a good science article out in Health Tech where they've actually done a study and have found that they have found a technical reason why acupuncture, or actually a medically proven reason why acupuncture actually works. It appears that a team in Barcelona inserted and rotated needles into tender paws of mice and found that the biochemical blockade of a substance called, and is produced in humans as well, called adenosine, A-D-E-N-O-S-I-N-E, soothed the mice about as much as giving them drugs that boost the same levels of whatever this natural occurring chemical is in our bodies. More specifically, both during and immediately following the acupuncture treatment, the level of this substance in the tissue near the needle was 24 times greater than before the treatment, so acupuncture may relieve pain by simply tricking the bodies into thinking there's been a minor tissue trauma. Very, very curious. So have you used acupuncture? I have in my hand, and it has worked. All right, Google ditches Windows on security concerns. Oh, this is big. This could be really, really big. Google is saying because of their lackadaisical security in China, where some of their source code got swept up. Google is saying that they are phasing out internal use of Microsoft Windows, and they have been directing their employees to switch to either Macs or computers running Linux operating system. Many of the workers are choosing to load, actually get Mac computers. It says many people have moved away from Windows PCs, mostly towards Mac OS, following the China hacking attacks, said a someone at Google. New hires are now given the option of using an Apple Mac computer or PC using the Linux operating system. So they're saying Linux is open source. We feel good about it, said one employee. Microsoft, we don't feel so good about that. In early January, some new hires were still being allowed to install Windows on their laptops, but it was not an option for their desktop computers. Google would not comment on its current policy. Could be, too, that they're switching to Google OS. And makes sense if you're, you know, if you're building an operating system, got to get the team on board, right? So that's a Linux-based or Unix-based operating system. So we'll see what happens here. But Google is saying sayonara to Microsoft Windows. You know, this Foxconn, the company that makes a lot of Apple products. Well, workers at Taiwanese electronic outsourcing manufacturer Foxconn are getting a raise after a series of 13 suicides. Now, what I found out here is that when someone commits suicide at Foxconn, the company pays a death benefit that is very large. And they feel that there's been some copycat suicides because of this dowry that's essentially paid, or this, you know, this grievance pay or whatever it may be, the death pay that they're paying to the families. And so accordingly, Apple is subsidizing the low wages themselves. And it's being said that their Apple plans to subsidize raises using its own products. For the first one being the iPad. This would raise the outsourcing cost to 2.3% to 3% of iPad sales price. The article does not say the amount of raise per worker, but it's rumored to be about 20%, according to other Chinese news sources. So they're not only going to give them an iPad, but apparently they're going to give them a raise. I'm sure many of these people will sell the iPad, which probably would end result in them having more cash. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. But you know what happens? It's just a cycle. You know, in the early 1900s here in the United States, people worked for almost nothing. They got paid very low wages. The unions came in. They got better wages. They got better benefits. And we are where we are today. In China, people started working with very low wages. Now, wages are increasing. They're starting to get more benefits. And it's just an ongoing cycle. At some point, we're going to run out of third world countries to build our gadgets. And so what's end up going to happen is at some point, the rooster's going to come home to roost, and basically the price of manufacturing will be semi-leveled across the playing field. I'm sure that won't happen for many, many years, but you know, this is what companies do. They go in and exploit low labor costs to keep manufacturing costs down. And yeah, that's part of the stuff that they're doing down in Mexico as well. So we'll see what happens here. This is the first strike on that, or first, you know, whack at wages in Taiwan. Now, Taiwan is, the wages aren't that low. The country's, I wouldn't consider Taiwan third world. So, we'll see. What would you do if you got locked out of your Google account? Well, there's a story on a blog at lobius.blogspot.com. I have a link up in the show notes, of course. Talking about how the guy got locked out of his Google Groups and Google accounts for 3 years. It took him 3 years to get reinstated. And he talks about the secret formula he used finally to get in. And all I can say is the crux of the story is you're never going to get a response from Google support via email. But if you sign up for some of their premium services and pay the premium price, you get premium customer support. And ultimately, that's how he got fixed. But, you know, too bad it took him 3 years to figure that out. On the Dumber and Dumber front, imagine this. You're an employee at Disney. You're getting a paycheck, probably a good paycheck, got a good job, got good benefits, and you're on some sort of financial committee where you're going to get access to the financial reports that Disney's going to announce in their earnings call to would-be investors. Imagine that you are a little bit more greedy and you decide that, hey, I'm going to have early access. I've got insider information. And why don't I give this data to my boyfriend and let my boyfriend sell that to traders? Well, this brainchild had her boyfriend email 30 trading companies. And all 30 of them, I guess, passed this data on to the FBI. And guess what? Three people responded wanting to buy this insider information. You guessed it. Undercover FBI agents. This story probably does not end well for that individual. But I just wonder how many other brainchilds are actually doing this, but doing it in a way where they're getting away with it. And that's the question. A little bit of space news here. Delta Force launched a GPS satellite. A Delta Four launched the first of a new generation GPS satellite late last Thursday. After several attempts were a scrub, the Delta Four lifted off on schedule at 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Thursday from Space Launch Complex 37 at the Cape and placed the GPS 2F TAC-1 satellite into medium Earth orbit 3.5 hours later. So our first new advanced GPS satellite is up and away. Hey, over on Engadget. This next one, you know, I spend a lot of time in hotels, more than I care to, honestly. And we may have covered this in a previous show, but there is a new technology being introduced by a company called OpenWays, where you can unlock your hotel room with your mobile device. And so this is kind of an interesting way to open your door lock. I don't know. But if you're staying at the Plaza Hotel in New York and Boston, you are going to be able to do this here shortly. Now, Marriott is also testing smartphone check-ins as well. But anyway, you log in and they sync this information to your mobile device and you go to your room and you press a button and it unlocks your door. Now, hotels are unsecure enough as it is. You know, the highest number of robberies of laptops and stuff happen in hotel rooms. Do you think I want to use something that's going to be in my iPhone to unlock my door? I don't know. I think I would much rather have a key card that has no information on it. What do you guys think? You want to do that? You want to use technology to open your car up? Hey, when I called it out earlier in the show, but you got to check out the Park Assist video that I have up on from Ford and also the MyLink and Touch video. And really, just so as a word of clarity for all you guys, with the sync that's in most Ford vehicles, the Lincoln product called MyLink and Touch is essentially sync on steroids. It has all the features of Ford sync with a lot of extras that will ultimately end up in all Ford as Ford's as well. I'll be honest. If I was looking to buy a luxury car, I would definitely be looking at a Lincoln with my Lincoln Touch. It's pretty cool stuff. It really, really is. They've come up with basically plugging an EVDO card into the car. You're going to be able to have up as many as 5 people on a Wi-Fi hotspot within the vehicle itself. All the touch controls are now like, you know, passive sensored control where you actually just slide something over your finger over the dash and actually increases the volume of the radio. And it's just really cool stuff. Of course, you would expect that out of Lincoln. But that was one of the couple of cool things I saw at Ford that I wanted you guys to make sure you watched. All the stuff is good, but those two I really enjoyed. I know that we have vision impaired folks that listen to the show, but obviously for those that are hearing impaired, there's really no way at this point for them to enjoy the show unless they're watching the video and able can actually read my lips as I'm going through the content. So there's a new concept device that's being brought forth that I'm pretty excited about. Now, it's originally strictly for music for the deaf and are hearing impaired. It's a device that they wear over their shoulders, and it sends a variety of different vibrations through. It basically resonates to them so they can actually feel the different senses of music. And I'll be really wanting to see how this is accepted by that community, by those that are hearing impaired, whether or not this is effective, if it gives them some concept of music. I guess time will tell, but it seems to be that at some point we would get to the point where, with all these implants that are going on, you look at what Rush and a variety of other folks that have had hearing issues are using these implants now. You would think that we would be starting to get to the point where we can help a lot of hearing impaired people here. And really, I think that's where we're going. Hopefully, that's where we're going to go. But I don't know. We'll see how this works out and see if I can keep abreast of this particular product. I can cover this at the end of the show. Hey, want a reminder that TPN Weekly number 58 is available over at blog.techpodcast.com. It's hosted this week by Norbert Davis of the Totally Cool Tech Podcast. So make sure you check out his show. And he's got a little bit of content there for you that introduce you to his podcast. And he does a daily. So definitely check out his show offering over there. Hey, we talked about this guy that was in Kalamazoo, Michigan, who had his car towed and basically towed from an area where it wasn't supposed to get towed because he had a permit to be in the parking lot that he was in. And this guy opened up a Facebook page to complain about the towing company. And at this point, he's got about 12,000 followers. But if you remember, the towing company has sued him for $750,000 in damages, saying that he is liable to the company and basically caused them to lose business and so forth. But this article in the New York Times talks about slap laws, anti-slap laws, and how so many states do not have them. Michigan is one of those states that does not have an anti-slap law. About half of the states in the country do. But it goes to show you that, as we vent about products and services, like I vented about the Mophie, right? How I really was hard on the folks at Mophie. I reminded you, this is my personal opinion and my personal experience about this device that I'm not recommending to anyone. You'll know that it's my opinion. And I think that's where you have to be careful when you're out there. You had a bad experience with a company. As long as it's your opinion and you're not stating something that is not fact, you're pretty safe. So you can speak out, but just remember, keep it within the confines of what really happened and don't exaggerate. Because if you do, you may end up with a lawsuit underneath you like this guy has and still has. So this is a 2-page article on New York Times that talks about that, about venting online and how consumers can find themselves in court. This doesn't happen very often, but, just again, your opinion is your opinion. So as long as you keep it to your opinion, and journalists do the same thing. So be careful out there, all right, when you're venting. And I do my fair share, right? On the Going Hungry, dinner is an app away. There's a new app out there called Snapfinger. It's a web and mobile app for ordering takeout from a chain of restaurants like California Pizza Kitchen, Outback Steakhouse, Subway, and so forth. If you have a craving for a pizza or burger, you can pull out your iPhone and order one. Well, they've gotten some more money, and they're going to try to go beyond this a small number of restaurants that are already tied into this. Now, I travel a lot, and my wife has been really busting my chops to lose weight. So I've always been looking for ways to eat better on the road. And I'm hoping all of you will, you know, how many of you have the same issue? If you travel a lot or you're on the go a lot, what do you do? What are some of the tricks you use to eat better? You know, the lower cows, keep the cow count down and so forth. Are you using apps at all to do that, to find better meals, lower calories, all that stuff that, you know, especially if you're in a town you don't know? What are you doing to find that? Or is anybody even approached that? So I'm hoping folks like Snapfinger will actually build into their app the ability to say, okay, I'm looking for something healthy, you know, low-cal, and it gives you a way to easily find restaurants and stuff that are offering healthy, smart, you know, heart-healthy, smart meals. And, you know, for a traveler, this is important. So we'll see what happens with this. But I know Yelp has, you know, restaurant reviews, Foursquare as well. But none of them really have a process where they actually kind of help you go heart healthy. So I think that's over time. I hope that's where it goes. We'll see. I don't know if it's going to make it into that or not, and we'll go that far or not. All right, the Asus Triple E tablet is out and it's available. This is a new e-tablet that's available, and people are pretty excited about it. Pretty good review about it over on Engadget. I believe it's running Windows 7, and it's got a modified screen and everything. So we'll see what they've actually... Actually, it's not running Windows 7. What is it actually running? I swore that's what I saw, but it looking at the menu system, it does not look like Windows 7. It just looks like another e-reader out there. They introduced another product. Maybe I didn't link to the right one. I'll find it for you, but I know that they introduced another product that was actually running Windows 7 as well, and at Computex. So I'll dig that out and find it in the show notes, but this is another just regular standard e-reader with a variety of different services. But I know they introduced something with Windows 7 on it as well. I'll get that link for you. Apologize. Hey, you want to know some amazing stats about Twitter itself? And this should make you guys think a little bit. And it's pretty mind-blowing to think where they've come with this. Let me see if I can get this loaded. I found this over at babybacon.com. And what they have come up with is right now, with the 140 characters maximum length of a single tweet, Twitter users are sending 55 million tweets per day. That's 640 tweets per second. Twitter search engine gets 600 million queries every day. Thursday and Friday are the most active days on Twitter, which accounting 16% of total tweets. 10 to 11 p.m. at night is the most active hour on Twitter, and 4.8% of all tweets happen at that time of the day. 20% of Twitter users have tweeted 10 times or more. 41% of Twitter users have not tweeted since they created an account. There are more than 106 million accounts on Twitter. The number of Twitter users increased by 300,000 per day. Twitter gets more than 3 billion requests each day. It's generated over 180 million unique visitors. And 25% of traffic comes from inside Twitter. 75% comes from outside. This is some crazy stuff. 24% of Twitter users have zero followers. 40% of Twitter users are following at least 10 user accounts. 97% of Twitter users have at least 100 followers. That's a big number. 19% of Twitter's users have at least 10 followers. 36% of Twitter users have more followers than the accounts they are following. 81% of Twitter users are following less than 100. How can that be? They say 97% of Twitter's have users have less than 100 followers. Okay, not more than. Okay. And then it just goes in. So there's a lot more facts here. This article is really long. Everything you ever want to know about the stats of Twitter is available in this link. Link will be up in the show notes. Check it out, babybacon.com. Hey, we're on the Pirate Bay. Talk about 4 years after the raid of the Pirate Bay. And today is exactly 4 years since that famous raid took place. And while the entertainment industry has hoped that this would be the end of their troubles, in hindsight, really, we know that they've created a multi-headed animal here that is impossible to kill. And so pretty good article by by the folks over at Torrent Freak, but obviously the Pirate Bay continues to thrive. Even though there's a multi-million dollar settlement was found. Hey, we haven't talked about Gary McKinnon in a while. Remember, he's the guy in the UK that is fighting extradition to the United States for hacking into computers at NASA and DOD. Well, because the new party is in, the new party that is in charge in the UK has basically said as part of their campaign that they would not extradite him. He is hopefully at this point, still sitting in the UK, even though multiple courts have ordered him to be extradited. But the new British government, he may get a stay here. So the supporters of this new government hope that they follow their campaign promises and don't extradite him to the United States. Personally, I don't think they're ever going to extradite him. This has been going on forever. I don't think it's going to happen. I really, really don't. Hey, another pretty cool article over on musicmovielist.com. And I'm pretty impressed with the way some folks are doing some articles tonight. You guys need to check out that Baby Bacon one. Just the way they wrote the article up is pretty cool. And it's the same format I found here on musicmovielist.com. Talks about the film industry by the numbers. Domestic box office revenues in 2009 was $10.6 billion. 518 films were released. Average ticket price was $7.50. There were 1,474,000,000 visitors that went to movies. Is that right? It's 1,474 in millions. So if I add 3 to that, yeah, I think 1.4 billion. As compared to 347 million that went to music amusement parks, 141 million that went to sporting events. Top 10 grossing films of 2009. Of course, number one was Hangover. Of the top 10 grossing films of 2009, one was R-rated, 6 were PG-13, 3 were rated PG. And this just goes on and on. Talks about all the stats of the movie industry. I'll let that have that link up in the show notes. You guys can check that out yourself. But, you know, these guys shouldn't be whining too much. They're doing pretty good. Some big money there. I don't think they're going out of business anytime soon. You know, we all like good movies. We really, really do. Okay, I'm going to end the show on a couple of, on a fun note here. I'm going to link up to a couple of things. The first is really not a fun video, but it's one of those videos that make you go, oh my goodness. It's a spectacular soda truck multi-car crash. No one died, fortunately, but it's a wild crash involving a soda truck and at least 5 cars that this guy jumps the median. It goes, if you haven't seen this video, it went viral. It's huge. I'll have a link to it in the show notes. You can check it out. And the last one's more of a fun one here. You know, Lost is over, but, you know, Oceanic Airlines is not the airline you ever want to fly. Of course, you wouldn't, because the only place Oceanic Airlines has ever been portrayed is in 5 different movies, all resulting in crashes, which were, you know, a very high accident rate for that particular fake airline. And just like we have fake telephone numbers that are used in movies, fake airline names are being used as well. So as they would obviously be. Okay, let me go ahead. That's it for the show. I have all these linked up in the show notes. Let me get into the actual email that's came in over the past couple of days. I know everyone has been enjoying the Memorial Day weekend. Those of you at least in the United States, and those of you in the UK have actually had to go to work today. And but I got an email from Jorn Vandenberg. He is in, I believe he's one of our listeners in Sweden. And of course, I'm opening the folder here, and email is not wanting to. Come on, baby. I'm not using that much bandwidth. There we go. He's in the Netherlands, and he says, "Hey, Todd, don't know if you've heard of this or if it's something, anything interesting for your show, but here in Holland, something I thought was pretty funny. Apparently, some burglars broke into the HTC headquarters and apparently got a hold of probably one of the first, if not only, HTC wildfires. It somehow ended up on a Dutch version of eBay. So the prototype showed up, got all kinds of pictures here. So I'll have this linked up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Jorn. I hope I pronounced that right, Jorn. And again, he's out of the Netherlands. Got an email from Jim. He said, "Hey, Todd, you're going to love this. Take a tour through the International Space Station all the way to the space shuttle. Make sure to watch it in 720p. It's a YouTube video." Awesome. Awesome, Jim. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Sal, I didn't know you originally were in Hawaii. He said, "Hey, Todd, I lived in Hawaii for 14 years and actually graduated from UH Manoa." He says, "I know about plate lunches. The garbage plate here is pretty good. Just missing the kimchi. Sent from my iPhone. Cheers, Sal." Of course, Sal is in Rochester. We'll be seeing him here in a couple of weeks. You know, most plate lunch here at Sal don't have kimchi. 2 scoops rice, 1 scoop macaroni salad, plus entree. But yeah, you can get kimchi if you want for your substitute. But, you know, that's something we always have in the refrigerator. Got an email here from Frank. He's, "Hey, Todd, interesting piece from Scientific Blogging." And it's a talk about Arctic warming. So I have that link up in the show notes. Of course, got an email here from Trucker Tom saying, "Hey, Todd, your latest episode sounded skip-free. So apparently you eliminated the skipping problem. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks, Trucker Tom." Yes, we did. Got an email here from Todd. He said, "Hey, Todd, I'm a big fan of your show and live in Rochester. It'd be fun to meet up with you and the other local Geek News Central fans. I live in this area most of life, but I'm afraid I can't really make any good Rochester experience restaurant suggestions." He says, "Olive Garden, Applebee's, Red Lobster, similar sounds great to me, but they need to. They're not exactly unique to this location, LOL. I won't know if I can make the meetup for certain until closer to the decided upon date, but please keep me posted about it. I hope to be there and enjoy some time with your fellow geeks." I think right now the plan is, let me look at the date here, Todd. I think right now we are planning on the 18th. If the 18th doesn't work for you, I don't know if Sal's flexible or not, but let me know what's good for you. Okay. I think that's it. That's all the email for tonight. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can call anytime, complain, leave comments, pimp your show if you're a podcaster, whatever it may be. It's there for you to use. Email, of course, is always welcome as well. And we'll take audio comments via email as long as it's under 10 megs in size. That's usually what Gmail chokes on. But geeknews@gmail.com. So I'm going to be punching my computer tonight to find out why it was acting up and seeing if I can figure out what the heck is going on at Ustream today, because the show did not get recorded over there during this this go-around because of whatever they have changed. You know, it's annoying. I love Ustream, but you guys got to quit doing that. You got to quit changing stuff midstream on us without warning us. And I guess that's it. So I hope everyone had a good Memorial Day weekend. And again, it's never too late. If you see a service member, just say thanks. And they may shy away from you, but it's always appreciated for them. Just say thanks and for doing what they have done and do. So that's it. It's been beautiful here in Honolulu. Absolutely gorgeous. And hopefully we will not have any more, big surprises from the honey-do list and buying carpet. Oh, boy. That was a little bit of an eye-opener. It was. So, as of course, referring to what I talked about earlier in the show. So, anyway, I guess that's all. And everyone take care. We'll see you back here Thursday night if you want to watch live, or the show will be released Friday morning on schedule. And, the geek here's got a birthday coming up, and, I'm not going to say my birth date on the air for specific reasons of, identity theft, but, I will be headed out. We'll have, one more show here in the studio and then, headed out to Texas for a 2-week jaunt, 1 week in Texas, 1 week in New York. And then we'll be back home for a while. I think that's the end of the schedule, traveling schedule for a bit, at least until I hope maybe August. So anyway, we'll let you guys know what the plans are, and we'll see you here next show. Everyone take care. Till next time, aloha.